Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. Outsourcing is a hidden gem that a lot of small agencies use to scale up quickly and become more profitable. How to find trusted outsourcing partners and which agency tasks you should outsource first to start the outsourcing journey. Chris Castillo shares how he has successfully leveraged outsourcing in his agency. This is episode number 28, which agency tasks to outsource to scale up profitably with Chris Castillo. Before we begin, if you've been enjoying this podcast, please do consider leaving a 5-star review over at iTunes. Just head over to smartwebcreators.com/iTunes. If you are on Android platform, you can find links to Stitcher and Spotify by going to smartwebcreators.com/show. That's smartwebcreators.com/show. And now let's begin the episode. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing good. So we are going to talk about something that a lot of agencies use, but do not get talked much because it's like a hidden secret, outsourcing. But before we get on with the topic, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
Yeah. So I'm first of all, thanks for having me here. But I'm the founder, owner of a digital marketing agency called Propel Digital Media Solutions. And as you know, I also run a Facebook group that has been around only for a few months now, but has been growing in popularity, which is great. We had a lot of really good people in there. And the name of that Facebook group is Supercharger Web Agency. Mm-hmm. I'm a guy who started a business as a side hustle about 2 years ago and grew the business to the point where I was able to convert that into a full-time gig. And just most recently, I actually developed a platform specifically for outsourcing. So it's kind of on topic for what we're going to be talking about. And I think this is really where there's been a lot of interest, not just in my group, but in other groups as well. So.
Okay, cool. Let's dive into the world of outsourcing. Now, you know, most people who run 1 or 2 person agencies have this super control mindset, like I'll do everything for maximum quality and control. So outsourcing is a big, big no for me. Now, have you noticed this trend or even have you gone through this, you know, thinking personally?
I personally have actually gone through hits and misses in that respect, to be quite honest with you. Outsourcing is not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing to do to start. It's not an easy thing to get right even once you've started. You know what I mean? There's a lot of things I think that when people start outsourcing work, they sort of fail to really nail down certain aspects of it. And again, there is this whole control aspect that business owners don't want to give up that control over their projects, over the quality of the work. That's a whole other hurdle on top of that, right? So outsourcing is definitely something that I think a lot of business owners think that they need to do or want to do, but don't do it because of those different challenges. But of course, there's always a solution to every problem, right?
Yeah. And in this mix, the biggest fear is that I will lose the customer, my own customer, to the outsourcing partner. Like for me, I've worked on white label basis for almost like 4 or 5 years now, and I've not come across single, you know, such case, but this is a general perception. Like I will get a person who I will outsource my work and that person will snatch my customer and make his own customer by giving some more attractive offer. Is this a perceived fear or even that is been your thinking as well, at least when you were very new to outsourcing?
That's interesting, Davinder. I actually have never run into that particular concern, but I have It has sort of not really crossed my mind, but it's actually crossed my mind in terms of I've had other people outsource work to me, and mm-hmm. I felt like I hope they don't think I'm going to try to steal their client from them. That was kind of the thought that came to my mind. So it was from the reverse perspective, I guess, but it's never really been an issue for me for when I go to outsource work to anybody. And really, I think at the end of the day, it's probably a false fear. Like if you're, you know, like business is done when you win a client over, right? Mm-hmm. They're doing business with you because they like you. Right. And so, for you to lose that client would probably mean that you're doing things wrong, and it probably has less to do with another person, right? So I think there's probably more of an inward reflection that needs to be done if you have that sort of a concern, and not have it placed on, you know, any external factors or anything like that. But yeah.
Okay, now, you know, most agency people or even agencies, they are busy serving their clients and they hardly get time to do anything else, including, you know, participating in communities. Like, how many times have you seen, like, Facebook is a waste of time. I'm not going to come here. Like, not just like now it's all about Facebook, right? Earlier we used to have forums where dedicated forums and people would log in. Now Facebook has replaced it and people say it's like waste of time. I'm not going to come there. I'd rather, you know, build another site and make more money. And most people even don't start outsourcing because they don't have time to find those outsourcing partners, just like because they are busy building sites. Now, isn't this the biggest stumbling block that people don't know where to start and look for quality people?
Yeah, and I think it really comes down to the whole, like, you as a business owner trying to wear every hat in the business, right? Yeah. Like, you're trying to do everything yourself. If you feel like you have no time to find those partners, then you're probably doing too much anyways, and you're probably allocating 80% of your time to the parts of your business that aren't really bringing in the most return. So for me, I've actually tried consciously to step outside of that. Like, I've hired a graphic designer because I know that design work is going to take me 3 times as long to do as this person, even though maybe the results are going to be on a similar level. Why not have this person do it where they're going to be able to do it in a fraction of the time? And I've recently started to look at outsourcing other aspects, including things like sales, because I dedicating all the time that it takes to, finding leads and then following up and all this other stuff, that is very time consuming. So I've actually started testing out outsourcing aspects of the sales pipeline as well. So it's really, and what I've found as a result of doing that is I've had more time to dedicate to other areas of the business where I'm putting in place processes and systems that are helping to establish a foundation for the business to be able to grow and scale, right? And if I didn't dedicate that time, if I didn't free up my time, right, by freeing up my responsibilities and delegating that, then I wouldn't have had the time to lay those processes down. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, if you're going to scale your business, you're going to need people's help. Like, that's just a fact, right? And once you get people's help on board, systems and processes are what's going to help to, it's going to define your success. If you have no systems and processes, you're not going to be successful. Even if you have some of the best help, because you need to have a process that people can follow and all that other stuff. And so I've taken a step back consciously to do those sorts of things. And I feel like really at the end of the day, probably 99% of business owners out there could probably free themselves of at least one aspect of the business that they aren't good at or are inefficient at, and have somebody better in place to do that work for them. So.
Okay, cool. And now the golden question, like, how did you find your outsourcing people, like, when you started outsourcing the first time?
Well, the graphic designer I found through I was actually hunting through a bunch of different platforms online, from, you know, Upwork and all these other freelancer sites to, you know, just there's People by the Hour and all these other things. And I found my graphic designer through that. It was a really long, arduous process. It took a lot of trial and error. I wouldn't recommend it. although I found somebody good, I think I could absolutely see how like the vast majority of people can fall into the victim of getting a bad hire.
Yeah.
So you really have to take your time with it and do your due diligence, and be more than anything patient, right? The other ways that I've found our outsourcing partners were actually through Facebook. So although I do find Facebook to be a big, huge, massive time suck at times, I still feel like it's one of the best platforms.
And you run a Facebook group with a lot of members. Irony number two.
Yeah. Well, that's right. And honestly, like, there's times where I will completely turn off all notifications on my phone, on my computer, on everything. I'll shut everything down. And because it could be really challenging. I mean, there's probably around 2,300 members in my group now. And when there's a post that's getting engagement, it's crazy. It's crazy. And so, yeah, you really do have to try to balance out how much time you're putting into these platforms and stuff. But, you know, like I've hired great copywriters through Facebook. I've hired great, marketing partners through Facebook. So I definitely feel like it's a good source of networking, not just to be able to find people to do the work for you, but also to find people that need work done that I can do for them, right? I've gotten a few projects through Facebook. So not a lot, but definitely, I mean, I would more projects than I would have gotten not being on Facebook. So
when you get a new person who you may hire as your outsourcing partner, do you give that person a test task, a small task, rather than, you know, making him jump into a full project?
It depends usually on that person's background, right? If I know they're established, they have a good reputation, they have a track record for success, I've seen examples of their work, and I may not really feel I need to, and it may be a pretty low risk thing to just throw them into a big project. But definitely, like the graphic designer, for example, I had probably filtered down the list of around 80 to 90 different candidates down to around 10. And even of the 10 that I had, I put them all through a small sort of like test. And I also, on top of that, actually put all of the graphic designers that made it to like the sort of like the last three.
Okay, so I'm going to interrupt you here. Like, you,
yeah, yeah.
You gave a test to those 10, you know. I'm sure people who are listening would be interested in this little minor detail. Like, when you gave a test to those 10 people, like, what was, like, can you share a detail? Like, what was the test all about, first thing? And secondly, how did you evaluate the result? Because a designing thing is kind of a subjective, to be honest. And what parameters did you use to, you know, pick the right person there?
Yeah, so there was one specific project that I had at the moment that I needed to hire on for. Mm-hmm. And so what I did is I got one page of that entire project. Obviously the website was probably, you know, 30, 40 pages. Got one small page that was relatively easy, but maybe had a couple of components in there that I thought might help to distinguish like an average designer from somebody who's a little bit more creative. And I just gave them all the same brief. It was a very short brief. It just said, give me a design for this page.
Okay.
I added in links to some sources of inspiration that they can use. Yeah. I said, make sure that you try to use these sources and blah, blah, blah. And then I just went, I looked at all of the submissions, and you can tell who is just sort of like copying and pasting things. Or like, you know, you can go online and find these like
slap the template.
Yeah, it's like a template kit or something, and they'll just recycle things.
Yeah,
it's like literally like 10 components that make up 90% of the internet, and they just like recycle these components. And you can tell the other designers who like did something unique that wasn't that status quo. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was looking for, is somebody who can think creatively within the confines of that brief that I sent them. And those are the ones that I then filtered down to like the three. And then from the three, I actually put all three of those people on a 1 month sort of like contract or whatever. So it was just essentially, look, we'll do this for 1 month as a part-time thing. I actually hired all three of them on a part-time basis and brought them all into my Slack channel. And I knew, basically, I did that knowing that at the end of the month, I was going to fire two of them. And it was basically like, you know, you have three people in a ring and you give two people weapons and you say, fight it out, you know, fight it out between the three of you. And I didn't obviously say that to them. I didn't want it to be this thing or whatever, mm-hmm. but it was obviously at the end of the day, I can only afford to hire one on. And I wanted to give all three of them the opportunity. Right. So, and it was, my decision was really heavily based on communication, because communication is so important. In fact, even the person that I ended up hiring at the end of the day, communication was still a little bit lacking, and something that we've still continued to work on afterwards.
And that communication is the communication with you, not with the client, right?
Right, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. And it's just, you know, things like just responding to emails or messages. You know, if I give them instructions, their ability to understand and stick to those instructions and not, you know, misinterpret them or whatever the case might be, because it could be language barriers and stuff too. Right. And all that stuff could really hurt communication. And so that was sort of the process that I went through. And obviously, as you can imagine, just, you know, thinking about all of that, it was a long process. It was probably around 2.5 months or so.
Yeah, not just it takes time, it also takes your energy and mind, because you got to make decision. And, you know, when you make such decision, you get nervous, because your whole business is, at least one part of your business will depend on that person. And you don't want that person to, like, you've got a design deadline and that person vanishes and he's not replying. You can't do anything about it then.
Yeah. You know, before running my business, I worked for a company for 10 years. I was an engineer at a company that fixed x-ray equipment. And I was a manager. I managed the service department for the company. And I've been in the role of hiring people for quite a while. Mm-hmm. So I sort of know already, you know, the questions to ask and what to look for. And one of the things that for me, I knew going into that whole thing was, or hiring the graphic designer, was that, you know, I really don't take firing people like super personal. And I, even though I do completely empathize for them, right? I'm not like a cold-blooded person, but it's just a fact of business, right? Like, it really, you just have to look at it that way. And for me, it's like, if somebody's not a good fit, the best thing you can do for them and for you is to just make sure you identify that as early on as possible and address that immediately. Because if you let it carry on, you're also dragging that person along with you. And if at the end of the day, things don't work out, they could have missed out on an opportunity to work with somebody who would have worked out with. Right. So
now here we are talking about, you know, outsourcing stuff to people like individuals. Yeah. Now there's a new breed of things, like they are all together agencies and companies who only, you know, handle white label outsource stuff. Like, there's a white label company who will manage your client websites. There's a white label company that will give you designs for your clients for as per your requirements. Have you ever explored that part of option for getting outsourcing services done?
Not at the moment. I really haven't given it a whole bunch of thought, mainly because I feel like those services are primarily aimed at larger agencies, right? Like, if I was an agency and I started out doing WordPress design and I had hosting and I was hosting all my clients' systems and funnels and whatever, and I decided, you know, I'm gonna scale this funnel business as much as possible, and that's what I'm gonna focus on, I would absolutely consider outsourcing the hosting, because my core revenue is funnels, right? That's where I'm making the most amount of money. And the hosting side of things is a sort of a supplementary service that I offer to keep my customers happy, to offer everything that they're going to need, right? So in that scenario, I would totally consider doing it. But right now in my particular business, we're scaling slowly. And what we're looking at is basically on a client by client basis, we're trying to provide everything that we can for each client. And we're trying to capture as much of that recurring revenue as possible right now. But definitely in the future, if I had, 10 projects coming in every single month, and just the project management alone was so time consuming, resource intensive, that I needed to look at freeing up some time, those options are absolutely great for doing that, right?
Okay, let's take an example. Now there's an agency of like one or two people, and they're doing everything, website design, development, they're doing everything by themselves. Now, what could be the first few things that they can outsource in their agency to reduce the workflow and, you know, spare more time to possibly use it to handle more clients in the future? Like any specific item that should be dealt first with regard to outsourcing?
Yeah, usually the best thing to do is always to just look at where you're the most inefficient, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the first areas that you should always look to outsource, because there's always going to be somebody who can do things more efficiently than you. And even though you may lose out on some revenue, if you can do things more efficiently, you mm-hmm. can scale things, right? And so you can make up some of that lost revenue because you're paying somebody else to do it by bringing on more volume. But also you're also freeing up your time to be able to do things that are going to be generating more revenue for the business, right? So maybe that's focusing more on the core business and more on sales, whatever that might mean for your business or whatever, primarily the first areas that you're always looking to outsource are going to be the inefficient, the bottlenecks, right? Now, a lot of people actually will outsource project management for that same reason. Mm-hmm. The big bottleneck for them is managing the project and the client and business interaction, right? Like every single time that they got to send an email, it stops them from focusing on progressing on projects that are bringing in the most revenue. And it's just a big time suck. So they can hire on a project manager and alleviate themselves of that entire process, right?
Or hire a VA, virtual assistant, right?
VA, yeah, exactly. Like a lot of the PMs that I've seen people hire are virtual assistants. They're just VAs that are experienced in project management, right?
And what are the main things one needs to be careful while outsourcing a specific task in a bigger picture of a bigger project of, say, website design and development? There are certain things that you want to keep watertight to, ensure that your main project is completed or progress at the expected speed.
One of the biggest things that I've learned, sort of the hard way too, is that you have to outsourcing any aspect of the business means you still have to have complete control over the project and the strategy behind the project. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example of that. We if you were to do some, for example, you were to bring on a copywriter for a particular project, right? You hired out a project copywriter. What you're doing is building out a funnel, a system, like a website that is going to be the whole purpose of it. You price this thing out at like $20,000-$30,000, mm-hmm. and the whole purpose of it is to be high converting. If you don't have the whole strategy in place for not just like getting people top of the funnel, but also middle and bottom of the funnel, if you have to be the one that's gonna craft that entire strategy. Mm-hmm. But the copywriter, if you just send them, okay, we need copy for this page, they're gonna ask you questions. A copywriter is gonna ask. They're not gonna ask you questions that a conversion optimization funnel yeah. builder is going to ask, and they're going to be missing the information that you need to give them in order to make sure that they are writing copy to hit your strategy, excuse me, to follow your strategy, to coincide with your strategy. And so what is going to end up happening is you're going to have copywriting that's great, but isn't going to serve the higher level strategy that you're looking to accomplish. So that's one thing, that the biggest thing that I think I've learned over the time that I've been outsourcing work, is you really still have to make sure that you're treating that person like a staff member. Like, you have to brief them on the strategy. You have to brief them on the background of the business. They have to understand the business as much as you do, because ultimately, whatever part of the project that you're outsourcing to them, it has to fit within all of those details, right?
And most of the- any other safeguards to ensure quality control in the project that you've outsourced?
I think really the communication side of things has really got to be pretty solid. But if you can nail down the communication where, you know, you have set sort of expectations and they're delivering on those, it's really, you just have to make sure that you're doing your due diligence and you're reviewing the work and you're not just accepting it because they've given it to you. And, you know, like, let's say, obviously you're going to be trying to outsource to experts, right? So, you know, just taking it at face value because they're the expert, it's going to be right, is probably not the right thing to do. Is you still have to do your due diligence and review it and make sure that you are comfortable with it. Because at the end of the day, it's your project, it's your client, and it's the results that you get for them is going to be your results. Not the copywriter, not the graphic designer, not whatever, right? They're going to be your results that you're producing for them. So you definitely do have to do your due diligence, and if you're not happy with it, you gotta act on it and make sure that you iterate on the process of feedback and reviewing the work to make sure that you're happy with the end result.
Let's talk about the terms of outsourcing. Like, do you sign a non-disclosure agreement with the outsourcing partner, or trust factor is more than enough to get things moving?
Yeah, it depends on who that person is. Again, if it's a copywriter, for example, I usually don't. There's not much in there that is sort of confidential that a copywriter is going to be able to infringe on. If it's something like a branding specialist or a graphic designer, mm-hmm. or something along those lines, I probably will. It really just depends on the role, but you know, especially if the person's doing like project management and they're handling the direct interaction with the client, then you definitely want to have a non-disclosure in there, because they're the ones interacting on a daily basis. They're getting the inside information directly from the client. So there definitely needs to be an NDA there somewhere.
And how do you price your tasks that are being outsourced? Like, is it like the percentage of the final project price that the end user is paying to you, or like you do follow the hourly agreement? Which is the better option? Which has worked better for you?
The way that I do it, and the way that I prefer to do it, is to, before I even price the work out to my client, I jump on a call with whoever that person is and I say, look, this is the scope of the work. What do you feel comfortable pricing this out at? What's a good budget for you to take this project on, mm-hmm. or a similar project? And whatever that price might be, you know, I'll essentially make sure that it's factoring in the fact that I'm going to be doing all the client interaction. So, mm-hmm. you know, if normally you would take this project on for, you know, $500, do you have any sort of pricing structure to account for the fact that I'll be doing a lot of the client management, things like that? And usually we'll come to an arrangement of, you know, if it's 500, maybe we'll drop it down to 400 because I'm doing some of the heavy lifting. And then from there, once I know what that price is, I just factor that into my proposal for the client. At the end of the day, you know, whatever they price it out at, I can usually upsell that to my client, mm-hmm. because just recently I had a client, one of my bigger clients, who asked me to take on their social media for them. So I actually jumped on a call with a guy from my Facebook group. And we went through this whole exercise, like what I just mentioned. And I went back to my client and I offered a proposal that was what they were going to charge me plus a premium. And, you know, my proposal was like, this is what it's going to cost to have one person to handle all of this for you, as opposed to you juggling around all of these different providers. And so there's a huge convenience factor. There's also the value of having both of those strategies, the social and the SEO, which is what I focus on, combined into a single cohesive strategy. So really it wasn't hard for me to sell it. So I'd rather make sure that whoever I'm working with, they're paid fairly, and that I'm able to then, as long as the budget is not ridiculous, obviously, and it's a fair value to the client, then that's what I'm really looking for. I'm really looking for win-win situations, right?
Now, outsourcing is a very important aspect when people talk about, you know, self-running autopilot business. Like, I'll hire different people to manage different parts of my business and get out of the day-to-day working of your business. Like, I see a lot of people emphasize on this, even market this dreamy idea, you know, earn like a passive guy, even though there's nothing called passive income, but you get slapped with marketing messages of promising beach life, people working behind you, but you don't have. Does outsourcing work in this kind of a setup?
You know, I think it definitely can. You know, like there's a whole systems that people tout that can do all sorts of stuff, right?
Even you're saying tout, you're not saying like share.
Yeah. It really depends, right? Like one of the most clever ones that I've came across, was, you know, a guy who was saying that you can create this entire sales system by hiring appointment setters, and the appointment setters, you're paying them by appointment that they set. And, you know, if they book X number of appointments per week, and then you convert those, and they did this whole math formula, and they said, okay, that means you can be generating 10,000 per month easily on automatic. And it's like, yeah, you probably can, but it all depends on the service that you provide, right? And like, if what you're providing is like, you know, some core, like a course or something, then you could probably do that because the course is already done for you. It's pretty much automated. But if what you're doing is providing services,
not in design and development, that wouldn't be possible, right?
You just couldn't do it, right? Like you can definitely hire on people to make things streamlined, but streamlined and automation are not the same thing, right?
Yeah, you can still can't throw away the laptop and sit on beach, you know, and let other people work on it, right?
No, well, I mean, maybe one day you can, but I think you got to scale things quite a bit before you can get to that point.
Now, you've been with the outsourcing partners for quite some time. Now we've talked the rosy picture. Let's talk the other side. What has been your biggest failures or pitfalls in, you know, getting that outsourced people with the outsourced work in your handling your parts of business?
Yeah, I think it's like what I mentioned before, like the biggest things that I've learned was that you have to really have to be the captain of the ship, and you need to steer the entire project, regardless of whether you're out. And if you're outsourcing an aspect of the project, whatever specialist you've hired to do that, you're still the captain. You know what I mean? Like they are still the crew. And you still have to direct things however you think they need to be directed. Like I, you know, with any sort, especially because what we focus on is websites, right? Websites are not meant to just be this nice thing to look at. They're meant to generate business, right? They're meant to grow and build revenue.
Yep.
You can't build revenue without a strategy. And that strategy is not what that outsourcing partner has been hired on to do. They haven't been hired on, unless that's what they've been hired on to do. If what you've hired on is a strategist, then maybe. But more than likely, you're hiring, you know, special skill sets like graphic design or something. They're not there to formulate that strategy. You are. And whatever that strategy is, you need to make sure that it's being executed by every person that's involved in that project. Whatever their role is, they have a role within that strategy, and you have to make sure that they fit within it and that they're executing things correctly. And I didn't do that early on, and it definitely bit me in the ass, and I had to go back and really redo a whole bunch of work that I didn't get paid for. So it definitely hurt, but it was a good lesson that I learned, and I've learned from that, and it's actually helped me out across all the other areas of outsourcing and business and stuff. So yeah, and that's definitely the biggest one.
And I believe all the outsourcing work that you get on with is on white label basis, or can they share the stuff that I've done this thing for Chris for this client?
I have some folks that will refer work to me. So they're not really outsourcing it as much as they are partnering with me. Mm-hmm. So I'll be their SEO specialist, and they will, anybody who's looking for SEO, they don't want to manage the client SEO relationship. They don't want to be in between that. And so what they prefer to do is just say, okay, Chris, this is a guy who needs SEO. There's a company who needs SEO. I'm going to send them to you. You're my SEO specialist. We'll jump on a call. Me and that other business owner will jump on a call. We'll talk about their particular client that's looking for SEO. Mm-hmm. And then we'll formulate a strategy around how we're going to, what they're going to potentially need. I'll jump on a call with the client. And once that client jumps on board an SEO campaign or some sort of SEO contract, that person that referred them to me will get like a commission from that referral. And that's how they generate revenue, right? Most of the SEO campaigns that I've gotten that way, mm-hmm. Resulted in a recurring commission. So they get a percentage of the monthly commitment from that client, as long as they're a client of mine. So they get a monthly recurring revenue stream by referring the work out to me. I get a new client without having to go and do sales. And the client gets a good SEO professional that can deliver results. So everybody wins.
Awesome. Now let's talk about something that you've created recently, which is outsource.services. Like, what was the idea, or what was the trigger behind doing all this new platform for only outsourcing stuff?
There was... So when I first started the group, there was, one of the first things every Facebook group owner will do when they first create their group is create their rules. And in their rule book is indefinitely going to be a rule that you're not allowed to promote your business. And, that was obviously no different with my group. You know, obviously you still always get people trying to slip past the guards, so to speak.
Yep.
And you got to shut them down, obviously. But yeah, I understand the need for it, because, I mean, business owners need to generate more business, right? They want to get their business out there and all that stuff. And especially for people who are just starting out and they're looking for their, maybe not their first, but maybe their first few clients or whatever, they don't have a huge referral network to rely on, right? Like, they don't have this huge client base that they can rely on word of mouth to get them more business. So, you know, they're kind of stuck in this hustle mode. So early on in the Facebook group, I got a lot of people asking me if they can post up about their business and things like that. And that led me to create a post on Facebook that I was going to create a members directory. And it was really going to be, Facebook has this feature where you can create like a document on Facebook, and it's like, it's kind of like a Google Doc on Facebook. Yeah. And that's what I was going to do. I was just going to have this Google Doc, and I was just going to say, okay, you know, just send me your details. I'll put it on this document. Anybody who's looking for somebody can just go in there, do a control F, look for copywriting or something, and then they'll be able to find somebody. And that was like literally the idea that I had. I just didn't want to, I wanted something simple that can do the job and satisfy that need, because there was a lot of people asking for it. And that post got a whole ton of response, reaction, engagement, all that stuff. And so I knew people were interested in it. I just didn't know how I was going to implement it in a way that was going to actually generate the results people were looking for. I started thinking about it after that day, and I was like, okay, if people start changing out their services, they're going to need to send me their information again. If they change their email, then they got to send me their information again. If they change their business name, they got to, and I'm like, this is just going to be, it's going to be a full-time job on its own, just maintaining this list. So I started thinking of brainstorming ways that I can do this in a way that would let people manage their own information. And that's what led me to the idea of creating this directory. So I woke up at 4 a.m. in the morning one night, not sweating, but thinking to myself that I needed, if I'm going to do this, I needed a good domain name. That was the SEO side of me.
And that's the biggest pain point, finding a good domain name. Right.
And I was on my phone at 4 o'clock in the morning for an hour until I hit outsource.services. And I thought that was the domain that I needed. So I bought it and I started putting everything together, and the rest is sort of history. So Outsource Services got launched last month. We got about 50 businesses on there right now. Mm-hmm. We're still working on some features to add to the platform to make it even more valuable and more useful for people. Mm-hmm. But it's a work in progress, and I'm very, very comfortable leaving it at that. A work in progress that we're looking at as a long-term thing to build out into something that's going to be really, really valuable, because there really is a big need for that within the Facebook platform.
Yeah, and it's a really good idea, because even though there could be similar kind of services, but your services would be one with, you know, the personal touch, or with actual businesses who do work and who, you know, actively look out on social media to, you know, find clients for their kind of business, and even look for other people that can add to, you know, their other additional tasks being an outsourcing partner. So really, really good idea. And I've seen the website. It looks really good. So congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I know the first reaction that everybody gets is that they compare it to, you know, Fiverr and Upwork and these other platforms. But the way that I really wanted this whole thing to play out was that Outsource Services would be a premium platform where you're not looking for the cheapest solution. You're looking for the right solution. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're going on Upwork or these other platforms, and I know you've got your start there too. And, you know, but really, and I'm sure you can attest to it having been in those platforms, that you really get people who have virtually no budget and they want the world given to them.
Yeah. And there's no quality control. So
there's no quality control. There's really, it's impossible to deliver quality. You can't, they're literally in direct conflict with each other. Quality and price, like cheap and quality, they don't mix. Right. Yep. So for me, it was like, I don't want the cheapest. I want the best. I want the most expensive. That's fine if they're the most expensive.
So how do you are ensuring like only quality businesses or outsourcing partners get registered on the site? Are you doing any vetting process or something like that?
No, I'm not. And really, at the end of the day, I feel like it's sort of short-sighted to be vetting businesses a little bit, because somebody who, if I were to vet a business right now and say, okay, the quality they're putting out is not great, it's not to say that next month they don't improve their workflows, they don't improve their processes. Every business is a work in progress. Yeah. And every business can change from one day to the next. And so really, I don't think that vetting them on a business by business is the best approach. But really, the best approach for me was to have other people who have actually worked with those businesses vet them, right? And so we've put in place a review system where people can review every business based off of four major factors that are the most important for people who are looking to outsource work, which are quality, value, communication, and turnaround time. So I've reviewed a few of the people that I've worked with on the platform already, and given my feedback in terms of how my experiences were working with them on those four factors. And I'm sure that, you know, people, if they were to look for somebody to work with and they found my review there and I had, you know, 5 stars across the board for somebody, that's a good enough vetting process right there that they're going to feel much more comfortable working with them. And especially if you know the person who's done the review, and you also have some sort of a connection with the person who's been reviewed. And that's why there's that whole connection between the platform and the Facebook group, is to really bring like this huge, like everybody. I just did this live with Marcus Dickinson the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, no matter what you classify yourself as, a B2B or B2C or whatever the case might be, at the end of the day, everybody is B2P. Like everybody's doing business with a person.
Yeah.
Right. Even if you're going to bid on a project for McDonald's, you're not doing business with McDonald's. You're doing business with the project manager that's in charge of that project for McDonald's. That's who you're doing business with. And so really bringing that whole human element to that whole process of outsourcing and all that other stuff, I think it just makes sense for me.
Awesome. Now let's talk about your toolbox. So which are your 5 current favorite tools that power your online business?
Oh, that's a good one. I absolutely love Ahrefs. It's probably my most used tool.
And powers your SEO services.
Powers, I mean, thousands of dollars worth of revenue. So, yeah. I mean, as much as people think that Ahrefs is expensive, like, it's nothing compared to how much I make from services that I use that tool for. I use Ahrefs, and I use another tool called SERPbook to track results for clients' rankings. Mm-hmm. Those are definitely two of my top. What's another one here? Facebook. Facebook's one of my most used tools,
which is also a time suck.
Which is a double-edged sword, like 90% of the time. Book Like a Boss is one that I've recently started using, and
I bought it last week, but I've not. Yeah. I'm not started using it. I have a Bookify also, Lifetime Deep, but I'm lazy enough. I didn't even set up that. So I bought this one also. I don't know if I will set it up or not.
I've recently set up outbound email campaigns through Lemlist. I jumped in on the lifetime deal for Lemlist.
Yeah.
And that tool, they've really developed it really well. I'm very pleased with that one. That was a really, really good purchase. It was a natural move for me to go and buy the lifetime deal for Book Like a Boss, because they just fit perfectly well together. I get outbound sales through email. Mm-hmm. And then for the people, for the prospects that come in through that funnel, I have them book appointments through Book Like a Boss, and everything just works really, really great together. So those are probably my 5 right there.
So which is your recommended or favorite web hosting? Like, I guess you host client websites as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. 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 And I recommend Cloudways to everybody.
Cloudways fan.
100%, man. I was on Flywheel for the longest time, and I was touting Flywheel to everybody, saying it was great. And really, to be completely fair to Flywheel, they have a good service.
Yeah, till your eyes opened further.
I feel like if you were to compare Flywheel, WP Engine, which is another big one, and Cloudways, I've had the experience of using all three, and Cloudways is by far the best experience I've had.
Yeah, but
not just in terms of customer service, but also in terms of like just overall features and performance and stuff.
But WP Engine and Flywheel, they can be like twin brothers, like they are almost same. But Cloudways is altogether different animal if you compare with them, because you got to manage a lot of things. And I've heard good things about Cloudways, and I've heard bad things about Cloudways. So it also depends, on the technical know-how of a person. Like if you don't know how to manage a little bit of server here and there, then Cloudways isn't something that would fit you, I guess.
Well, I mean, Kyle Van Dusen, we both know him, and he's not a super technical guy. Like he's very honest about that. But he's on Cloudways, and he's found it super easy to use. And Cloudways has done a good job of abstracting all the technical components of managing a server, and they've layered a really nice user friendly interface on top of things. So there really isn't a whole lot of deep technical stuff that you need to really get involved with. A little bit more, definitely than Flywheel and WP Engine. Actually, I would even say just Flywheel, because even WP Engine is more complicated than Flywheel. Flywheel is probably like, it's like the ABCs of like hosting.
That's why they say it's made for designers, not developers.
Yeah. I know that's probably true. It's like a playground. It's so simple. WP Engine is a little bit more technical. I actually found it even a little bit very unintuitive for me. Mm-hmm. But Cloudways is sort of the mix of a little bit of, it's in between a little bit. I think both of those.
Which is your favorite or recommended page builder? Elementor, Thrive?
Is this even a question these days?
Beaver. Yeah, why not? Because they are new babies here. Like there's Brizzy, there's Oxygen, and guess what? And you know, these days you see posts comparing these page builders, and Elementor and Beaver Builder are down somewhere, you know, in these posts.
Those posts are just trying to be nice. That's all the thing. Number one page builder, I think, is pretty, I think I'll say that before in 2018, the page builder market was dominated by two major builders, which were Beaver Builder and Elementor. But I definitely see Elementor just edging out everybody these days. Like they just have so much functionality, and it's not just regular, like it's not just, okay, we're going to add these new widgets. I mean, these are marketing tools. Yeah. Like, you know, and really at the end of the day, that's what you're looking for, is you're looking for a tool set that's going to help you market your website. And I don't think there's just any better tool set than Elementor.
Talking about marketing, which is your favorite email marketing service?
Email marketing service. I haven't used any of the big ones. Right now I've been, I actually installed Modic, which is a CRM.
Yep.
That it's an open source CRM. I've been using that with outsourced services. And I like it, but it's definitely not for the faint of heart. It's very technical.
If you're looking for a hosted solution, there's something called Mailster, I think. I think Nathan from WP Build, he uses it. Okay. But then you got to do a little bit of dirty work to get it working. Unlike, you know, the off-hosted solutions like MailChimp, ConvertKit, it's like out of the box. You just log in and you're done, right?
Yeah. I've heard great things about like ActiveCampaign and Drip. But they're so pricey, right? I mean,
ActiveCampaign is really powerful, very, very powerful. The only problem with ActiveCampaign is it looks primitive. The UI is primitive. So you got to deal with that primitiveness or the vintageness of the platform, but it's really powerful. ActiveCampaign is the most powerful out of all these, ConvertKit, Drip, and all that. Drip is really good if you are not looking for very powerful hooks and functionality, and Drip has really good UI. Even ConvertKit, they both are like cousins, you know, they both have similar kind of functionality. If you're just starting out, I think MailChimp is the best. Now MailChimp also has the, you know, Drip automation and every, you know, although their bells and whistles are smaller than, you know, ConvertKit, but they are still there. Like they are still getting on with it. But the good part about MailChimp is it offers limited functionality, but whatever it offers, it works really well. Like your emails do get in the inbox. That's a big problem with a lot of, you know, email marketing services, because you never know which IP got blacklisted, you know, which email list of yours got blacklisted. So that is also a problem. So any upcoming tool or service that has caught your eye attention besides Book Like a Boss, which you already spent money and bought it?
No, I don't think so. I think the only other tool that I have been working with, actually, it's not something that I'm looking forward to, something that I've already been working with is Cartflows.
Okay.
Cartflows is just, when I first heard of this idea, I thought this was like the most brilliant thing ever, because I'm like, you know, ClickFunnels is a multi-billion, maybe not billion, but they've got like tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. And there's just a natural fit for something like that in WordPress. And, yeah. And really, there was a lot of times where I used to build sites for people, and then they would have an aspect of their website that was done through, ClickFunnels, because they needed all that fancy, all the bells and whistles. And to do that in WordPress without something like Cartfunnels or Cartflows is really tough to do. And so you need a lot of different tools working in conjunction to get all that stuff done. And Cartflows makes it really, really easy to do that. So I'm I'm glad I got in the lifetime deal for that one as well. That should be on my top five list.
Awesome. So before we wrap this episode, where can people find you?
You can find me in my Facebook group at facebook.com/group/supercharge web agency. Okay. You can also find me on LinkedIn as well. That's usually the two places where I spend the most of my time these days.
And do check out outsource.services, right?
Yeah, that's right. Bookmark it.
Yeah. Okay, Chris. Thank you so much for your time. It was
amazing
talking to you. Have a good day.
You too. Cheers.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.